If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you're missing out. Not only do they taste great, but Super Beet Soft Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beets Chews is clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure than as a healthy lifestyle alone. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you want. And if you love Super Beets Chews, you'll love their all-new, delicious vitamin D3 chews. Vitamin D3 has been in the news a lot for its ability to support immune health. And Humin's all-new vitamin D3 chews provide high-potency vitamin D3 for a convenient and delicious way to support your immune health year-round. Now, you can get a free bag of vitamin D3 chews and a free bag of Super Beets chews when you buy 2 bags of Super Beets chews at danasbeets.com. That's danasbeets.com. danasbeets.com.
The Dana Show.
Never bend a knee to the rage mob.
I don't care. I want to have my firearm and worship and be left alone.
Never being seen at what you can do anything.
What did I just hear? You know, I'm just going to be honest about it. Everybody's got a different flavor, right? We don't have 31 flavors here.
It's Dana.
Well, I'm thrilled to be on line with heroic members of the United States military, incredible people. I want to wish you all a very happy Thanksgiving. We're going to have a great year. We have a year coming up. The foundations are ready for one of the best years we've ever had. We have with us 6 units deployed all across the world, representing every branch of the armed forces. Many of you are very far from home, but today we hope you know that millions of American families are praying in gratitude for the sacrifices you make and the incredible, absolutely incredible job you do. As president, I want to personally express my profound thanks to each and every one of you for your devoted service to our nation. Our nation is doing very well. It's the highest honor of my life to serve as your commander-in-chief.
And what a blessing that in our generation, right, that our military is a volunteer military. Man, I sure hope it stays that way. Because you get people on front lines that defend our country, and they are there because they believe in our nation. Yeah, that's the best way. Obviously, the commander-in-chief, he still is president, will continue being president until, at the very least, January 20th, right? And there's some Hail Marys being lobbed all over the place. Man, I was reviewing everybody from Greg Jarrett to John Solomon, people over at Epoch, just trying to keep up with everything. I know my brother, producer Sugarcane, he sent me a little list of stories that I was watching as well. Sidney Powell filing lawsuits in Michigan and Georgia as well on behalf of We the People. Hail Mary is being lobbed all over the place trying to keep President Trump in office. Happy Thanksgiving, friend. How was your Thanksgiving meal? I'm Sergio Sanchez in for our friend Dana Lash. This is the Dana Show. If at any point you want to hop aboard, you have something to contribute, you're welcome to call in at 844-344-3262. So the president in the news today is saying that Joe Biden can enter the White House as president only if he can prove that the 80 million votes that he received were not fraudulent. President saying yesterday and saying last night that he would leave the White House if Joe Biden wins the Electoral College next month. So I know you've seen those chyrons, all the cable TVs, even Fox, make sure to put everybody's face, the popular vote, the so-called popular vote in our country. I still have doubts, serious doubts, of the 80 million popular votes that Joe Biden has received. I'm left to wonder how many of those are buckets and buckets and buckets full of mail-in votes brought into offices or just stored somewhere for offices to count in jurisdictions all over the country. Tens and tens of thousands of county jurisdictions all across our nation. How many people who live in this country who live in this country illegally registered and and abuse the system and sign up to vote. Man, this we need to get a hold of this problem. This sucker, I wish the president, his folks, his attorneys, I hope that this is part of the President Trump's legacy, that finally his team, just like his coronavirus team, had a, just like the president had a plan on the coronavirus issue. And don't listen to Joe Biden, all of his lies that in part got him to on a path towards the White House right now, suppressing the truth. And President Trump's team fighting the coronavirus, I hope he develops and puts together this team, keeps this team together to finally clutch this sucker by the throat, this persistent generational problem with inconsistencies and problems and corruption in voting precincts. It does affect. It can affect. It has affected. That's one thing I am convinced of. It has affected in part. To what degree, I don't know. But see, then that's the answer that we need. How much of the local jurisdiction corruption in key places that are in swing states, how much did that play a role in giving and overcoming the advantage that President Trump had in suburbs and rural areas, and then the metro areas that historically, and they're known, and people joke about it, and there's stories and fables and jokes that are made through generations about how such election, this, that election was robbed, and it's expected. It's part of the culture already, right? It's part of the culture. It's Chicago. Oh, it's Detroit. Oh, it's Philadelphia. But now the stakes are much higher. The future of our nation, literally. I mean, you talk about this being the most important presidential election, period. Because the folks who are at the precipice, right at the edge of taking hold, taking power up in Washington, D.C. Once they grab it, they will do everything to solidify, cement that lead. Get some more Senate seats. Create an official state of Washington, D.C. What is it, like 1 million, 2 million, 3 million people in metro Washington, D.C.? What is it? Oh, yeah, but we need two more senators. Washington, D.C., you know they're going to be Democrat. Do the same thing for Puerto Rico. You know they're going to be Democrat. That is four Democrat seats. They get power. That's one of the first things. Aside from giving 11 million illegal immigrants in this country citizenship, I think they might put that one on the shelf real quick, make sure they give statehood to Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico and solidify their lead. Right now that we are at a time when conservatives and liberty-minded people are, I'm not going to say the word panicking, but, I mean, let's face it, it's out of our hands right now. Friend, everything on the election side, it's in the hands of attorneys. And Hail Marys being lobbed all over the place. I'll see if I can share with you some of the write-ups that I see. Emergency Wisconsin lawsuit being filed to stop certification of the vote. The Amistad Project doing the same thing in Michigan. It's out of our hands right now. It's in the hands of attorneys and judges, and see if the cases are strong enough to stop certification or, I don't know, go where we've never gone before legally. Once it's been certified, what, unring that bell? How do you do that? I'd love to see it. But now everything hinges on the state of Georgia. Got two Senate seats that are up for grabs. And see, if the corruption at some county level somewhere, a few buckets here, votes, a few ballots, buckets full of ballots here and there. Oh, no one's going to know because, after all, you know, this is an unprecedented election when it comes to mail-in vote. All these people mailed in their votes. Well, no one's going to know. Just bring out those 2-3 buckets out of the closet. Bring them in here. And they can't be traced back to any envelope that came in because we were already done. We don't know any. There's nothing that we can do to prove any of that. Or on the other side, disprove that. All this does is just create doubt, suspicion, lack of confidence in the final tally. You know, like that lady that was running for U.S. Senate in Georgia, Stacey Abrams, right? She's being credited for turning the state of Georgia blue, in part. Right now, it's in the hands of Georgia, these two Senate seats. And if any corruption brought the numbers down for Donald Trump to the point where he lost the lead, not only did he lose the lead, but the senators who depended on those Republican votes, they lost the 50+1 vote needed, one of them, 50+1 vote needed, to avoid a runoff outright. That's what it creates. Right now, President Trump, he's focused on a big rally, Trump-style big rally in Georgia. Hey, Kimmy, let's go to Cut 5, see what President had to say on that Georgia rally he's planning for a few days.
I spoke with the two great senators. They're great senators, Kelly and David. I'll probably be going on Saturday. We're looking for a site. We're going to have a tremendous turnout, and we seem to always have a good turnout. The people are very disappointed that we were robbed. We were robbed. I won that by hundreds of thousands of votes. Everybody knows it. You go down the streets, there were Trump-Pence signs all over the place, and we won that by hundreds of thousands, Georgia. So they're disappointed. I don't want them to be disappointed. That'll solve itself. We're finding the votes. Once we get to the signatures, we'll take over 100%. Once we get to signature 100%, we will take over Georgia, and we will get Georgia.
All right, well, the president, at the moment, he's rising now. This way I see it, he's slowly rising now. It's good to hear from the president. It's good to hear his Thanksgiving message to the troops. And finally, he took a Q&A with reporters, and it got kind of testy there with one of them. Maybe I can share the audio with you when we come back after paying bills. But the president right now is slowly rising as the cheerleader for the Georgia races. And this is, you know, Dana said it. I've said it on my talk show. I think I might have mentioned this during the last time I filled in on Wednesday. The president can be, in my opinion, should be the lead cheerleader to get the vote out for Georgia. See, and I've heard Dana's commentary on this. Her major concern is that as a result of this election, perhaps many conservatives, Republicans, or just new people that just you guys haven't voted in a long time, but you went out there and voted for Trump, your butts are needed at the polls. You better get your butt and say something on the ballot here pretty soon, because more is at stake. It's more than just the person, President Trump, Donald Trump. We've got policy issues that are serious for our nation's future. The president is now urging supporters in the state of Georgia to turn out for those key runoff elections, going to decide the control of the U.S. Senate. You got some people that are concerned, Republicans, conservatives. You got some people that are worried, outright worried, that the president and, you know, his comments on the election and the rigged election and fraudulent votes, that all that might discourage some people. So he's grabbing the sucker. He's grabbing the mantle, and he's planning to do a big rally here pretty soon, try to get the voters out in Georgia. And his voice is needed. Other politicians are needed in Georgia. The issues need to come to the surface real soon. The issues, as I mentioned, more Senate seats for the Democrats by simply converting some territories, some U.S. property, some U.S. land into states. And that's probably one of the biggest, if not the biggest. You talk about solidifying the league. We're talking about two seats from Georgia. The Democrats, they're just one more election away, the Senate runoff election away, from maybe getting four more seats after they get those two. When do you get the Senate back? Conservatives, liberty-minded people, when do you get the Senate back after something like that? We got some major issues that voters in Georgia need to pay attention to. You're listening to The Dana Show. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Friday. You want to join the conversation, 844-344-3262 from Dana's Southern Command Office in the Rio Grande Valley of Texas. I'm Sergio Sanchez.
If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you're missing out. Not only do they taste great, but Super Beet Soft Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beets Chews is clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure than as a healthy lifestyle alone. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you want. And if you love Super Beets Chews, you'll love their all-new, delicious vitamin D3 chews. Vitamin D3 has been in the news a lot for its ability to support immune health. And Humin's all-new Vitamin D3 Chews provide high-potency vitamin D3 for a convenient and delicious way to support your immune health year-round. Now, you can get a free bag of Vitamin D3 Chews and a free bag of Super Beats Chews when you buy two bags of Super Beats Chews at danasbeats.com. That's danasbeats.com. danasbeats.com.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
Happy Thanksgiving, friend. Thank you for tuning in. This is the Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, broadcasting today from her Southern Command office, Rio Grande Valley, at Texas. Part of the Trump legacy. Oh, my goodness. I love this headline from Thursday. The Supreme Court issued an injunction late Wednesday and blocked New York from enforcing 10, 25-person occupancy limits for religious institutions. Boom! That's Donald Trump's legacy. Why? Because of Judge Amy Coney Barrett. And it's you know, I was thinking about this driving to the office this morning. It's almost as if, you know, if you're on the same frequency that I am, you're thinking, okay, how is God moving all the pieces on the game board? Like, well, he says, okay, Ruthie, you come home now. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, you come home now. It's time for Donald Trump to get to work. And then within a few days, Donald Trump and team, they put Judge Amy Barrett on the high court. Now, all the reports said, yeah, conservatives now have a 6-3 advantage. No, they don't. They don't have a 6-3 advantage on the high court. You forgot Judge Roberts. Mr. Flake himself, he's a lib. I have no idea what foundation Judge Roberts works off of, but when it comes to liberty, when it comes to constitutional liberty, I mean, he stinks. The guy's a dud. And worse, he's making bad decisions when it comes to liberty. Anyway, so thanks to Judge Amy Barrett, the court cited 5-4. See, right now it is truly conservative, 5-4. Another decision, as an example, that one on New York and the church limits. Let's see, the religions institutions were affected. Businesses categorized as essential could limit as many people as could bring in as many people as they wish. In an unsigned majority opinion, the court said that the restrictions would violate religious freedom and are not neutral because they single out houses of worship. Boom. And you can't do that as a government. There's a right up in our Constitution. You cannot be imposing your will over churches. All right, I need to get some headlines in. Okay, Kimmy, let's play some headlines.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Well, we're home. And it seems based on travel patterns, a lot of us over at Grandma's right now, about 90% of the road traffic compared to same time last year. And we're home shopping too, it seems. Online sales topped a record $5 billion Thanksgiving Day. Adobe Analytics looking at the numbers. The online sales number jumped 22% over last year, and the company tracks data transactions from 80 of the top 100 online retailers. The top retailer, obviously, Amazon. The online retailer, Amazon. And see, they're in the news for a couple of reasons. Hiring is hiring while most traditional retailers are struggling because of the pandemic. Over 400,000 jobs that have been filled of late thanks to Amazon. And anyone working at Amazon, they got news the past 24, 48 hours, $300 holiday bonus coming their way. Hey, and there's a lunar eclipse coming Sunday night, Monday morning. You might want to check the NASA website on that one. It's going to be real pretty. This is the Dana Show from her Southern Command in South Texas.
Quick Five is brought to you by Caltech. Innovation, quality, performance.
Hi, I'm Sarah Carter, host of the Sarah Carter Podcast. Everywhere you look these days, we're seeing an aggressive effort to destroy what made America great, tearing down our history, attacking our freedoms, and canceling any person who dares to cross the progressive speech police. We cannot stand by and let this happen. It's time for the silent majority to become the unsilent majority. Join me on the Sarah Carter Podcast. Subscribe at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want a deeper dive into The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana Lash's chapter and verse newsletter by visiting danalash.com and clicking on the subscribe tab. Don't worry, your info is safe with her.
We also want as many members as possible of this corrupt, immoral, anti-democratic outgoing administration indicted, arrested, tried, and imprisoned. We want enough of them in there that they can hold reunions and birthday parties. We want the prison so filled with Trumps and Trump flunkies and Trump apologists and Trump enablers that we have to convert Trump buildings into new Trump prisons.
Jeez, my goodness. Wow, dude. As it's, you might recognize his voice. Keith Olbermann. He's out there spewing his hate again. Welcome to the Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez from her Southern Command office in South Texas. Yeah, I just listened to this guy, and I'm sharing this with you. Look, Keith Olbermann is very talented. I'll admit to you, in the years when he did sports broadcasting, very enjoyable. He's gifted. The guy's gifted. He's got a gift for gab and analysis, and he's got great taste in music and culture. But my goodness, Keith, dude, it's Thanksgiving. Dude, if everything moves the way and ends the way you think it might, Keith, you won, man. Now, why don't you focus on your lefties and your community and try to make your dreams a reality. You should be in the state of Georgia, leading the charge, you and your other fellow lefties, to get those two Senate seats for the Democrats. You should be pushing your party further to the left, like what you want. Why all the hate, Vato? Why all the hate, Keith? My goodness. Wow. Power in the wrong hands. Keith, in just flapping his gums and providing audio cuts like this, you think you're helping, Keith? Look, I'm trying to talk you off the ledge, man, because you're not helping your cause. I think most Americans, this is just my opinion, but I think most Americans, they tend to be a little closer to the center, maybe, kind of that mushy middle, maybe a little bit right of center. They don't like all that socialism stuff. They're kind of afraid of socialism. They do pay attention to the news. Americans ain't stupid. But all this about sending people to prison, all the Trump flunkies and the Trump apologists. See, Keith, and his little comments, his rants, and for me, that's gold. That's ammunition to fire, politically speaking, and commentary. You know, I'm not, don't start saying, hey, Serge is advocating that we start shooting all these people. I'm not saying that, dopey. We're using this as ammunition because Keith's providing us the political ammunition. People like Keith and the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the AOCs of the world. And why we should be afraid of powerful socialist, quasi-communist, power in the wrong hands. They're the ones calling, have been calling, never accept. They never accepted Donald Trump's victory 4 years ago. And from the very beginning, trumping up all these charges, this bogus Russia investigation that went nowhere, calling Trump a tyrant and a dictator and a fascist and a racist and all this stupid stuff, just always labeling him the enemy. Well, I suppose in part it worked. Look what you did to a lot of people that really don't pay attention to this because they don't have time to. They're working for a living. All they do is pick up little vignettes, little top-of-the-hour news, and maybe a little bit of cable stuff. They make the mistake of falling over to MSNBC or maybe picking up something online and just listening to that. I'm not saying that MSNBC should not exist, or some of the, you know, the Young Turks or other people should not exist. They absolutely have a right to say, to believe in, to preach, advocate, whatever they represent. Tyranny and central decision making and socialism and the new form of communism, you know, with sprinkles on it. What, that's fine. That's what's great about America. The problem is that we're working people. We're the greatest economy, the largest economy on the earth. We're working full time. We're trying to work full time, trying to keep our businesses open. I mean, this COVID-19 thing. And a lot of people only consume a little bit of stuff that's on the left, or the hearsay they pick up from family, that's all they consume is from the left. It worked, dude. It worked. And I don't know how many of those 80 million some odd votes are bogus votes, but you duped enough people in this country to make the vote close enough where it made difference. It made a difference in certain counties, in certain cities, and yeah, left it wide open for abuse. For a small victory in one county is what flips a state and flips the Electoral College. You know, all these years calling Trump a tyrant and a dictator, but in the heart of people like Keith Olbermann, Keith, you know, as it reminds me, I'm not calling Keith Olbermann a roach. I'm just saying, you know what they say, you see one roach. Well, there's one, there's like, what, 400? Well, in the heart of these tyrannical lefties like Keith, was expressed a few days back by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ms. AOC, Congresswoman AOC, with all respect, Congresswoman AOC. Because lover, hater, she's a congresswoman. And, yes, I know she was bartending one time. Well, she did good. She decided to run. She believes in her lefty ideas. She decided to run in a very left-of-center district, and she won, and now she's congresswoman. But a few days back, AOC, Congresswoman Cortez, you know, was pretty much advocating for the same thing. Not as crazy as Keith Olbermann's, because Keith Olbermann is just, you know, he's a meat puppet. He's just, that's what he gets paid to do, is spout his opinion. That's good. Okay, you said your piece, dude. Now we're able to use yours. But see, that's representative of the hate that is inside some of these people. Imagine if you were to give Keith Olbermann the power to actually execute these crazy ideas, to round them all up, prosecute all of them. Any sympathizer, AOC, Congresswoman Cortez, was saying pretty much the same thing a few days back. We need a list. We need a list. We need to check it twice. Who was with Donald Trump? What? Why do you need a list like that? For what? Prosecute, incarcerate, Fidel Castro style, Hugo Chavez style, Russian gulag style, that is the seed, the evil seed that is deep inside the heart of all of these leftists. Thanks for tuning in to The Dana Show. Let me share a couple more things with you here. I've got a stocking stuffer helper, not a stocking stuffer idea, but I've got a stocking stuffer helper. You know, like a hamburger helper? Because, see, what's going to be in the stockings for that some of you all are going to give to the kids? Like tablets, right? Or smart devices. And the kids, you know, those pretty little fingers, those tiny little fingers, boy, they know how to work those tablets almost immediately. It seems like, I think that people in engineering and marketing at some of these tech firms, they actually designed it based on little mini fingers, little baby fingers, and how fast they know how to use these things. Well, there's a new program that will teach our babies our history, our American history, our heritage that is based in liberty. Let me share with you. I'm going to go to the Cut 16, Kimmy. Logan Seculo. That name sound familiar to you? Logan Seculo. He's got an online idea that will help you with that stocking stuff here pretty soon. Go ahead, Kimmy.
A few days back, the American Center for Law and Justice announced the launch of Bald Beagle. Yeah, that's for kids. It's an exciting new educational entertainment channel for the kiddos, hoping to rear a new generation, teach a new generation. Maybe they can appreciate the gift of liberty that God has given them through this wonderful country. We have a generation that is just so damn stupid and ignorant right now that is advocating for communism, socialism. Logan Seculo is the creator and executive producer of Bald Beagle. Tell me about this wonderful program, because, man, we need to teach a new generation the history that is not being taught in public schools.
Absolutely. Yeah, I have young kids, elementary school age kids, who are already getting sort of, you know, more warped version of American history than you'd expect, not necessarily just from our schools, but from schools in general, or from the internet, or from the news. There's always this attack right now on American history and the history that we grew up with learning. So when all that happened, we decided that beyond just our school choice initiative, which we have as well, to advocate for school choice, was, well, how can we reach kids where they are? And where they are right now is on YouTube. Where they are is watching entertainment content online. Can we create content that can compete with the best names in children's entertainment? Because that's our background. We come from the world of Disney and Nickelodeon, and we've all worked with some of these big, giant companies. Can we take the talents that we've learned there, some of the connections we have from those great companies and those leaders and pioneers in kids' entertainment, and also take the resources that we have from the ACLJ and the ACLJ supporters to then create a new project together? We call it Bald Beagle, which is fun. It's just a fun thing to say. It's for a kid to say. We think it, you know, makes you giggle a little bit. That's all we want from the kids, and something memorable. And obviously it evokes the bald eagle, and there's a connection there. So on our website, baldbeagle.com, you'll see our latest video, but you'll also see a lot more information on how people can support the work. And we are just now getting going. Our first video, we just went up on YouTube on Friday. It's already had thousands of views, thousands of subscribers. We've seen a really great level of early success here, and people need this. As you said, Sergio, where people are excited about having a new educational entertainment platform that they know will be safe for their kids. And we're going, like I said, where the kids are.
And something that, will just grab the kids' attention. And in the meantime, just little by little, spoon feed the idea, the truth of liberty. And hopefully our children will be able to appreciate free markets and capitalism, prosperity and Second Amendment rights, and everything that we've had to learn on our own after high school, even after college. You have to learn on our own, because nobody taught us that. Logan Seculo, a creator, executive producer of Bald Beagle. It's a presentation, a new educational series from the American Center for Law and Justice. And yes, that Seculo name. Those are Jay Seculo's grandbabies, right?
Yes, yeah, those are Jay Seculo's grandchildren. We have an amazing team here. And when talking about these topics, you know, obviously Tay's very busy. But what I did this morning was I sat my kids down, and we have a new video that's going to come out. We just had one. It's called George Washington Loved to Dance. It's ridiculous. It's over the top. But what it is that's just the hook for the kids. In that video and in that song, kind of Schoolhouse Rock style, there is packed full of information about George Washington. Now, the next one won't necessarily be on a person, but we're going to have a follow-up video that's a quiz. And all these are puppets or animation, a little bit of both combined. You know, these are high quality. You don't think like we're doing hand puppets here. These are kind of Muppet level puppets.
Yeah,
these things are huge. I can't imagine. I was shocked when they came out how big these puppets are to do these amazing pieces. We have great puppeteers, but that is just a hook to really teach kids about the general. And we're starting with elementary, and we're going to work our way up. We're going to start with elementary and just get the general facts, so they have at least a general base idea of who these people are and some facts. And then the next video we have is a quiz that kind of goes through in a fun way. You know, kids were able to see if they learned anything from the video. And I did it with my kid to see if it worked.
Good.
Thankfully, they were, you know, they were 10 for 10, which I was very proud of them for. And then the next one, we bring up the work of the ACLJ. The next one we decided to do, which is definitely a lot more tricky and will definitely help out adults and kids, is on not just the voting process, but on the Electoral College. So you think that's a little bit hard to explain to a kid. We are working that into a 3-minute to 5-minute kids video. But I think it's something that's important, because you grow up with sort of a little bit of a skewed idea of how the elections work. And we wanted to present that early on so you understand the importance of the Electoral College and how it all lays out. So that's something that I feel is important. It's not just it's very simple. Everyone votes. The most people with the votes win. There you go. I think we can lay it out in a very easy-to-understand way. At least as easy as possible. And again, we've been doing that through the support of our, we're doing this for free, by the way. We're putting this content out for free. We're fundraising, obviously, on it for the ACLJ. People can donate specifically to Bald Beagle at baldbeagle.com. But the content itself exists for free. It's on YouTube.
Good.
It's on our website. It will be on other platforms. It may be on other streaming platforms that are, you know, rental platforms. But for us, at least the first line of the content, I want to make sure we go to where kids are. And if you do any of the research and the data, and probably your own kids, if you're listening, or grandkids, you know your kids are on YouTube. So we have, and the content on YouTube is very unregulated, for good or bad, so much so that we got to make sure that, that there are strong voices in the space.
10-4. Great work, brother. Thanks so much. It is for free. You'll find it on YouTube. The website, baldbeagle.com, baldbeagle.com. You can make that your starting point.
Keep praying for us, and if you can support the work.
Thank you for the great work. Logan Seculo with the American Center for Law and Justice. Again, the project, baldbeagle.com. Log on and make sure your kids watch it and take the quiz. And thank you for tuning in to The Dana Show from her Southern Command office in South Texas, Rio Grande Valley of Texas. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You can join the conversation if you have something to contribute. 844-344-3262.
If you're a regular listener, then you've been hearing me talk about Kel-Tec and all the reasons why they're one of my personal favorites when it comes to firearms. Privately owned, family company Kel-Tec has been making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms since 1995. Driven by creativity, Kel-Tec does not simply copy other weapons on the market. They innovate new firearms, including the new Sub-CQB. This folding suppressed rifle is bred for home defense. It also looks cool. And also new is the Kel-Tec RDB Defender with its patented downward shell ejection system. Both weapons are lightweight, easy to handle, and proudly made right here in America by dedicated employees who strive daily to find better ways to produce efficiently with quality, reliability, and affordability in mind. To find out more about the Sub-CQB, the RDB Defender, and all other Kel-Tec firearms and products, check out KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you. KelTecWeapons.com. Kel-Tec, creating innovative quality firearms to help secure your world. This November, we must take a stand. Now is the time to stand for what you believe in, for what makes America great, and for truth and freedom. With Patriot Mobile, you can take that stand with America's only Christian conservative wireless company. From now until November 7th, switch to Patriot Mobile with their Stand Up for Freedom promotion. Get a free Samsung A11 phone with 2-year commitment, free premier activation, and a free gift. Patriot Mobile takes a stand with a portion of every dollar going to support organizations that simply support the Constitution and your values. At 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Use promo code Dana for a free Samsung A11 phone, free premier activation, and a free gift. Or get a free month of service and $45 off any phone in stock. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana, promo code Dana, or call 972-PATRIOT. Stand up for freedom now with Patriot Mobile. That's 972-PATRIOT. Patriot Mobile, our plans, your freedom.
As we go along,
we're not going to force you to wear a mask, but if you do head out, take the Dana Show with you by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome to the Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for Dana. Yeah, first few minutes of the programming this hour. Profuse apologies. Hey, it's 2020. I mean, blame it on what? Coronavirus. The Russians. I don't know, man. Dominion software. It's a little glitch. Disconnect. You know, see, the Dana Show Southern Command is in Deep South Texas. Our office is up there far away near the nation's capital. So, yeah, we depend on a solid connection. So, anyway, that was a blip. We're back. Got some live programming. You want to join the program, 844-344-3262. I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is the Dana Show for a Thanksgiving weekend. I sure hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Okay, Kimmy, let's do some headlines.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
Okay, trying to play fair now. I gave a lot of love to Amazon last hour. Online sales going crazy. Target, Amazon, Walmart, Best Buy, everybody. But I mentioned Amazon a lot last hour, so enough of that A word. Walmart, Black Friday events, online now. I went fishing. Well, I had a little bit of downtime right now. I went fishing. Just crazy stuff that they're just throwing out the door. And it seems that most people, you know, they went to grandma's house, but they're not going to the local store to walk off grandma's big turkey. Even my friend Joe Kelly out in Orlando, he went out for groceries this morning. He posted he was at a Target early in the morning. It was empty. You'd
people would be killing each other for free TVs right now. Not free TVs, but almost free. You know, it's like really cheap TVs right now. Other news, the nation's biggest book publisher getting even bigger. Penguin Random House, going to buy Simon & Schuster from ViacomCBS, $1.75 billion. And thousands of Dish customers across the country could soon be without access to dozens of local television channels. Dish executives saying that Nexstar Media Group is threatening to block out access to 164 local channels. Da-da-da-da-da. One thing I discovered is all the free TV, like Pluto TV. You can find Dana on the First on Pluto TV. Just get a smart TV. That's the way to go. From her Southern Command in Deep South Texas, you are in tune with The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez.
Quick Five is brought to you by Caltech. Innovation, quality, performance.
2020 sucks, right? Don't let the source you get your info from suck, too. Get The Dana Show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Steve, I want to switch topics real quick to the climate agenda by the president-elect. Yes. You wrote an op-ed on Fox News titled, Biden wants us to rejoin the Paris Climate Accord. Why? It puts America last. I think we know where you stand on this.
This is disheartening. One of the best things that Donald Trump did when he came into office, and we had talked to him in the campaign about this, that the climate change, the Paris Climate Change Treaty is a joke. I mean, the single biggest polluter in the world by far, Rick, is China. And it doesn't require China to do anything for another 10 years. Meanwhile, we have to shut down our coal plants. We have to shut down our oil and gas facilities that employ, you know, millions of workers. We have to use more expensive energy while China and India and Russia lap behind our back. So I don't think it's a very wise thing to do.
To the 80 million or so Americans, fellow Americans, our neighbors or fellow patriots, to 80 plus, if you believe the numbers, 80 million voted for Joe Biden, and you guys swallowed it whole, the lie from the so-called mainstream media, all the abuse from Hollywood, just all the just awful commentary on President Trump all these years, all the online assaults, even within his own party, so-called Republicans and ex-Republicans and Chairman Michael Steele, the traitor, stabbing him in the back. All these people, all of you, if you believe the 80-some-odd million, for all of you, thank you. Thank you for your vote of no confidence for not the man, Donald Trump, who, yeah, love him or hate him. In my opinion, his policy is great for America. For the 80 or so million American voters, if the numbers are correct, and you guys are likely sending Joe Biden to office. Thank you for America Last. America Last is here again. America leading from behind. I mean, you name it. We're talking about the Paris Climate Accord and China, the worst polluter on the planet. Oh, by the way, how are you, friend? Happy Thanksgiving. All this wonderful talk, right? Positive stuff. Happy Thanksgiving. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You are in tune with The Dana Show. You got a comment, 844-344-DANA. You make it by Kimmy, you make it on the radio. You need to contribute something, though. Yeah, you name it. Paris Accord, Iran. Oh, yeah, that peace and nuclear agreement, yeah, where they punted for 10 years, they punted the nuclear bomb in Iran. There was acknowledgement that, yeah, they got a program that's going on, but let's just punt it 10 years, yeah. And I wonder how many billions of American dollars will be going to Iran now that if Joe Biden takes the office. You know, kind of like the pallets full of cash under Obama. Maybe Mr. Biden's getting a pallet ready to send over to Iran. Asia-Pacific trade deal. Yeah, America last on that one. And China, not only China, all the trade tariffs and putting China on a leash. The investigation into the Chinese virus. When is that going to happen under Joe Biden? Never. All right, let me read something else. More positive. It's Thanksgiving. It's time for charity. I saw this headline on Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively donating $500,000 to organizations dedicated to supporting the homeless, and that inspired me to go get a conversation. This is, I'm sharing with you a conversation I had with a wonderful human being. Her name is Michelle Steve, and a book that you, if you are in ministry, you're trying to help the homeless, you should know about this. Go ahead, Kimmy.
Michelle Steve is author of a new book called Answers Behind the Red Door, Battling the Homelessness Epidemic. It's a pleasure, Michelle. I appreciate you making some time to be with us.
Thank you so much for covering this topic.
You bet. It's heart-wrenching to see pictures that were dominant in the news at one time out of California, and all these people living in the streets, whether it's professionals, working people who can't afford housing in California, Northern California, Silicon Valley, or Southern California and Skid Row, folks trying to get by, their problem exacerbated over the past several years. What went wrong in California? And can we use that as an example of what not to do in other communities?
That would be the only way to use that example. Well, let me just start off and say that while California has one of the worst problems, homelessness has exploded across the nation by 16% in the last decade. Under a policy that the Obama administration put into place that promised that homelessness would end in the decade. Instead, it's gone up by 16%, as I mentioned, and spending has increased by over 200%. California followed the federal government's lead in implementing this policy, which is called Housing First. And it basically says we need to take the homeless and give them a house, and they can decide when it's convenient for them whether or not they want to engage in services such as substance abuse services or mental health counseling or work training. It's totally up to them in while they're in that housing, which is, by the way, lifelong housing, whether they want to get better. Jeez. This policy has just destroyed California. It's destroying the country, and that is why we wrote this book, because we need to put an end to this policy as a one-size-fits-all solution, and we can and should turn this crisis around.
Who are these people? Because all we see is Skid Row exploded. How did that program that was supposed to give them a roof translate into, it seems like, thousands more living on the street under a freeway?
Well, the latest data shows that about 75% of the homeless are struggling with addiction, a little higher with mental illness. But there's lots of other underlying issues. And the program that I ran for 13 years for women and children struggling with homelessness, domestic violence played a huge role. A lack of a high school diploma or a GED was the case in over 50% of our women. They had criminal histories about 60% of the time. So there's a myriad of issues they're struggling with. But the problem is that under this housing, not only did we completely divorce the services from the housing, which used to coexist prior to the Obama administration rollout of Housing First, we divorced these services, and now HUD won't even pay for them. You know, when you are struggling with addiction and mental illness, you are not necessarily in a mindset that you will reach out for help. And if you do decide to reach out for help, it becomes really problematic because there's not as much service available for you to address the underlying issues. And it's really hard to get to those services. So it's just as a one-size-fits-all solution, it's a failed policy. The data shows it. I know it from being on the ground for 13 years, and it really needs to be changed.
Author of Answers Behind the Red Door, Battling the Homelessness Epidemic, author Michelle Steve, who tells me she's had more than a decade of work with the problem of homelessness. So tell me about that, all those years that you helped out people who were homeless.
Well, thank you. I was in Sacramento at the time. I came into this work, I will say, it wasn't in my plan, but it was in God's plan, and I love the work. But what happened to me, I came in as a volunteer to help a struggling shelter for women and children. in the course of a couple weeks, I met a woman named Shelley and her two boys who had come in. And a couple days later, a woman named Katie and her daughter, Tori. And I was struck when I learned that Katie and Shelley were sisters. But the bigger issue for me was learning that 18 years earlier, they had actually stayed at the shelter. The shelter had been around for a long time. They had actually stayed there with their mom. And it was right then and there that I said, we can't just give someone a roof over their head and a meal and expect that we're helping them change the trajectory of their lives. And we built ever since then, took you know, 12 years, and it's still being built. But we built a 18-month comprehensive program that includes mental health services, drug and alcohol counseling, child care, transportation, work training. We built two restaurants and a daycare program that all serve as hands-on employment training environments for our women. Just everything under one roof, including the housing, the transitional or temporary housing we were providing. So it made it very, very easy for our women to access services. We actually required that they access the services that they needed to address their underlying issues. And for those reasons, because we required sobriety and because we required case management and work training, we actually lost $1 million in public funding and government funding.
Jeez.
And that's how I started to dig into housing first. It had nothing to do with our outcomes. Our outcomes were fantastic.
Yeah.
It had everything to do with we were all of a sudden considered to be too high barrier. We required too much.
Under the Obama administration, of course.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Explain to me the name Red Door, Answers Behind the Red Door. What is that?
So when we evolved from being a shelter to a 18-month, you know, comprehensive program, we decided to rebrand ourselves. Our name at that time was St. John's Shelter. We were no longer the typical, you know, shelter. So we decided to rebrand, and we brought in a gentleman, David Flanagan, who had many years of expertise in branding, who is also my co-author in this book. And we really got to the core of who we were, and the core of who we were was a program that allowed people to walk through a door and shut that door behind them and realize a new life in front of them. And that became, and the red door has a lot of symbolism. There's biblical symbolism, and in slavery times, the red door was used as a place where people knew they could find safe haven. So the red door became very symbolic for us. Every single bedroom that we have at St. John's has a red door. Our front door is a red door. And in 13 years, we developed some real answers to these issues.
Wonderful.
And so
wonderful.
It just made sense. It all came together that way.
There is always a remnant that's trying to get the job done, and they want to get started, but they have no idea how to get started. If we were to convert many of these mega churches that pay $1 million for their sound and light systems and convert those assets into truly working assets on the ground, but they want a template, they would like a template, they'd like somebody to hold their hand and show them it's going to cost this much. You need to hire these people. You need to watch out for these regulatory systems. Is your book perhaps a starter pack for something like that?
Well, your analogy of a starter pack, I think, is a great one. I think understanding the root causes of the problem and what needs to be done to address those root causes and what needs to be done to turn around this crisis, all of that is laid out in the book. And so I would absolutely suggest that they start there, and I'm available through my website at michellesteeb.com to help with any, you know, additional questions. You know, my grandmother shared this wisdom with me often: act as if it were up to you, but pray as if it were up to God. And they need to do those things in concert. They need to keep praying, but they need to start acting as well. And I think
that's the hard
this
right
book
there.
Is a great first step.
Yeah. Michelle Steeb, that's STEEB as in boy.
Michelle Steeb is the author. Answers Behind the Red Door, her book, Answers Behind the Red Door, Battling the Homelessness Epidemic. Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.
It's a great starter pack. And I know, especially this time of year, right, we think our attention, again, it wanders back to institutions that constantly help the needy, you know, homeless shelters, downtown, major cities where you guys live. Salvation Army. God bless the work of the Salvation Army. My goodness. I'm a local advisory board member here in Deep South Texas. A lot of work down here. But every year, like, for example, they're doing the Angel Tree program at the Salvation Army. They're doing the Red Kettle. You'll see in some communities, in some, because, you know, nationwide, it's staggered the way we're dealing with COVID-19. Some places shut down, others open. But, yeah, that's another yearly campaign. The Red Kettle, that's the signature fundraiser for the Salvation Army nationwide, the local offices. And I'm sure if you go online, you probably find a local office connection where you can donate to them. So, anyway, this is the season of giving, charity, and love. And I thought Michelle Steeb in her book is a great idea. Go get it. If you got that yearning, that desire to do something more than just do seminars, more than retreats or revivals, all this, you got to do something. Clock is ticking now. Your time on earth is limited. What you going to do? Let's get to work. From her Southern Command in South Texas, you're listening to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez.
Listen to The Dana Show on your Alexa by opening the app settings and linking your podcast service to your Alexa. And then say, Alexa, play The Dana Show podcast.
From The Dana Show Southern Command in Deep South Texas, I'm Sergio Sanchez. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. Obviously, millions of y'all hit the road. Safe travels to you this Thanksgiving weekend. We had about 90%, most of the forecast at 90% of people who hit the road. And that's because on the flying part, it's about 50%, but about 90% hit the road to Grandma's house. You guys be safe out there. Thanks for tuning in to the Dana Show. Now, stick around. I'll be talking about some of the legacy work likely being discussed at the White House with President Trump right now. There's some work that still needs to be done. There are, you know, vaccine issues, distribution issues. See, the president today in the news said that first vaccine, that might be out. We might start distribution within the next week or two. That's one of the news cuts from today. I spoke with my friend Jim Renacci, former congressman from Ohio. Other work, I've mentioned before, the voting system. Looks like the swamp fought back. Before you clean the swamp, it seems that we need to clean up the voting system in our country. This is something that the president could and should champion the next couple of years, next 4 years. And I say next couple of years because the next election, midterm election, is less than 2 years away now. And, of course, the courts, what the president championed, he got another member on the high court. He filled up a whole bunch of federal courts. Yeah, there's a little bit of work left to be done. He still has the turtle, Mitch McConnell, in the Senate. And those skids are nice and greased right now. Whatever needs to be filled, yeah, that's coming up later on The Dana Show. In the meantime, Kimmy, let's do some Florida Man.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I saw this out of Brooksville, Florida. Too much excitement for a holiday, right? Like our little studio connection earlier this hour. Hey, could be worse. Like the following story from Brooksville. In fact, let me find some wood. And then knock some wood around here just in case. Yeah, it could be a fire. Florida Walmart had to be evacuated as a precaution. One of the tractor-trailer trucks delivering the stuff caught on fire. Everybody had to be thrown out of the store. Two other trucks next door caught fire. No one hurt. Everybody saved. But, yeah, all that stuff, a total loss. And in honor of the season of giving, his name is Marcel Gruber, St. Petersburg. He gave his grandma's 1997 Ford Crown Victoria to a teacher, Mark Selby, 31 years old. It was in great shape. After all, grandma drove it all the time, right? 100,000 miles, but it looked perfect. And Mark Selby had been in an accident, had been totaled, and he was recovering from the accident. You're listening to The Dana Show from South Texas.
Dana Show.
Never bend a knee to the rage mob.
I don't care. I want to have my firearm and worship and be left alone.
Never being seen to what you can do anything.
What did I just hear? You know, I'm just going to be honest about it. Everybody's got a different flavor, right? We don't have 31 flavors here.
It's Dana.
Yes, Mr. President. If Joe Biden takes over the White House on January 21st, will you announce a candidacy for 2024?
Well, no, I don't want to talk about 2024 yet.
Will you
because this is far from being... Look. I and the people that work in this are very professional, and all of this stuff is coming. It's a lot of it came out. If you look at the Philadelphia meeting, if you look at the Pennsylvania meeting yesterday, a lot of it came out. This has a long way to go. You're going to find tremendous fraud. You're going to find fraud of hundreds of thousands of votes per state. You're going to find fraud of many, many times the votes that I need.
And the fraud, I would hope that once all this is done, and depending on what the courts say, judges say, appellate courts, all of that, once it's all done, I do hope this is pieced together into one big, fat, easily understood, comprehensive report so that he can champion the cause. This could be part of President Trump's legacy. If it becomes by some miracle, and it's a multi-state, multi-court miracle, if it becomes that, well, thank you, Jesus, he sticks around, then he can champion from the White House perspective, I'd say rallies across the nation, back to those swing states that almost cost him the election. Yeah, head on back to Pennsylvania, head on back to Michigan, head on back to Wisconsin. Why not move over to Minnesota? Just start targeting all these places that need to shore up, clean up their election processes. And if he's not in the White House, and the president's, I don't think he is, nor do I believe, this is just my opinion. By the way, I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is The Dana Show. Happy Thanksgiving. Safe travels to all of you. You guys went to grandma. You weren't paying attention to Professor Fauci. You weren't paying attention to Dr. Fauci. He said, don't travel. And the CDC and everybody else. That's fine. You went to see grandma. I hope you guys are safe. Safe travels on your way home if you're doing that today or sometime this weekend. Before next week. This could be part of the legacy. This whole cleaning up the vote thing could be part of the legacy for President Trump. He can champion this inside the White House or outside the White House. And I'll touch on that in a little bit. I got a conversation with a new friend I've made via the radio, all these talk radio interviews that I do. Jim Renacci, former congressman from Ohio, one of the Tea Party crew back in 2010. I believe Jim was part of that 65, 66 Congress people contingent, Tea Partiers, who stormed into Washington hoping to defeat the swamp. And the swamp is big, and the swamp is powerful, and the swamp is deep. And into the swamp is, I mean, go back to the founding. It's two centuries old now. There are some deep-seated institutions. And the swamp, if you believe, cannot be conquered, well, maybe it could even corrupt the election processes. But the champion for fighting the swamp, Donald Trump, could be, in my opinion, the leader of the new Tea Party. As in capital T, solid gold, of course, wouldn't be any less than that. Solid gold, capital T. Welcome to the new Tea Party. If Donald Trump doesn't stay in the White House, he could be the leader of the new Tea Party to fight the swamp at all levels. And one of the places he would need to fight it would be there at the ballot box. And in states, especially swing states, where metro areas, urban areas, can cost an election based on voting systems, electronic voting systems that likely need to be replaced. And hey, like he said earlier, the Canadians, President Trump in Cut 11, I played that earlier. The whole world is, it wasn't Cut 11. It was the one that he had mentioned, where was it? He had mentioned that the Canadians, it was cut there. I needed to read it. Yeah, Dominion. He said Dominion is from Canada, but Canada refuses to use them.
They're using paper ballots. That's the way to go. One citizen, one vote, one piece of paper, but it's all anonymous. Once you have one citizen, one vote, one piece of paper forever and all time to see how that one individual voted. None of this phantom boxes coming in, mail in. We don't know how many people, because they sent out, for example, some states sent out all these millions of requests or millions of ballots out. Let's see what comes back in the water. Of course, you're going to have an open door for somebody with a closet full of boxes full of ballots to say, oh, look, all these people sent it back. All that stuff needs to be chronicled and put back, put into a report. And the president, if he's not the president, if he is or if he's not, I'm talking about the birth of the new Tea Party for Donald Trump, solid gold tea. And well, the first thing that he needs to champion is reform of election processes in this country for the sake of our future. Because if we can't trust the election process in this nation, you think we're screwed now. People will never, ever again trust the election systems. Meantime, in the news today, I've got, you know, John Solomon doing some write-ups. I noticed Greg Jarrett did something too. One of the write-ups, the Thomas More Society Amistad Project. The state of Michigan filing lawsuit, Michigan Supreme Court, to physically secure, quote, all evidence of irregularities in the 2020 election and declare the election results invalid on the basis of unlawful conduct by state and local officials. Good luck trying to unring the certification bell on that one. But we're in territory that no president or presidential candidate has ever been forced to traverse. And we have to cross these lines because the systems are imperfect. We can't exactly get imperfect. After all, they're run by men and women, imperfect human beings, but they can be a heck of a lot better than we have right now. Just open door on the mail-in vote. Open door, open opportunity for corruption. That has to end. It has to end in our lifetime, and it has to end real quick. This group, this Amistad Project, alleging that election fraud was so rampant and widespread across the state of Michigan, it deprived the people of the state their right to a free and fair election. A comment from Phil Klein, the director of the Amistad Project. Quote, the pattern of lawlessness was so pervasive, widespread, that it deprived the people of Michigan of a free and fair election, throwing the integrity of the entire process into question. Good luck, Mr. Klein. Amistad Project in Wisconsin, and this is from about 48 hours ago, the Amistad Project filed an emergency lawsuit to block the state of Wisconsin election certification. The petition was, quote, signed with the Wisconsin Supreme Court challenging the state's unofficial results of the 2020 presidential election. A little further on, the Amistad Project provided an appendix breaking down the categories of contested votes. Illegal votes counted, described as estimate of ballots requested in the name of a registered Republican by someone other than that person, indicated a margin of over 14,400 votes. Legal votes noted, counted, described as estimate of Republican ballots that the requester returned but were never counted, listed as slightly over 12,000. I don't recall what the difference was in the state of Wisconsin, but either way, one of the challenges for these attorneys as they go, Michigan, Wisconsin, they're fighting in Georgia. Saw a headline on that one as well. You have to show up with numbers that if you place a certain block of votes in question, it has to be enough to make a difference in the election. And that's the major obstacle, the steep hill that needs to be climbed by folks. Amistad Project, the Giuliani camp, Rudy Giuliani camp on behalf of the campaign, anyone fighting in court right now trying to, at this point, what, decertify? Or is that even possible? Like, have the court step in there and say, no, you guys said certified, no, we're going to throw it, we're going to put a pause on that because everything is in flux, in question. The fight continues. And the systems are imperfect. And President Trump, or former President Trump, I would beg him to put this at the very top of the things that he needs to champion. As Joe Biden, let's assume that Joe Biden does take the office, and he promises that he wants to give 11 million illegal immigrants citizenship in this country. That's what he's going to focus on. Aside from focusing on, let's say he gets two more seats in the Senate, it's 50-50, and he could, I don't know what he could promise, noodle-spined or spineless, rhinos like Mitt Romney, up in Maine, Senator Collins, maybe Murkowski. You know, there's plenty of waffling, flagging so-called Republicans out there that you could, on any given day, you could say, yeah, they'll be voting with the Democrat Party would be 50-50 and would be majority because Kamala Harris would be the tiebreaker vote. You never know. Maybe he could convince some of these, rhinos. Hey, we need to provide equal opportunity to the folks in Washington, D.C. who live on American soil, and they need to become their own state. We need to give them two senators. Oh, why not? It's, equal representation. You can just hear the arguments now. Puerto Rico, the same thing. Look at this territory, and look how many years, and the benefit of their country, and they're like our hermanos. They're like our brethren. They're going to champion the cause of giving two territories, two pieces of property, statehood. That's four Democrat senators guaranteed. And you never know. Look at the Dreamers. Oh, the Dreamers. Look, and I, in my heart, and I know some of these Dreamers. The Dreamers, you know what I'm talking about, the people who live in this country illegally, who grew up in this country thinking they're American citizens, they don't even speak Spanish anymore. They don't speak whatever native tongue their parents spoke because they were brought to this country illegally. I hear you. But you don't throw away a citizenship, legal migratory processes. You don't throw all that out the window because you need to do something about the Dreamers. You don't give 11 million illegal immigrants citizenship because you need to do something about the Dreamers. But no, they're going to be championing that. They're going to be championing the whole senator thing. While Joe Biden and Democrats are doing that, God save us from giving those two Georgia seats to the Democrats. Donald Trump should be championing election reform immediately from the start to save our nation. That could be part of the legacy of Donald Trump. You're listening to The Dana Show from her Southern Command in Deep South Texas. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and if you have anything you'd like to contribute to the conversation, you can chime in at 844-344-3262. Happy Thanksgiving and safe travels to you.
Ditch the legacy media and unfree press by subscribing to The Dana Show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Thanksgiving. Safe travels to you from The Dana Show Southern Command. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and if you want to look for me online, it's at Sergio Talk on the Parler site. Yeah, it's Parler. Same thing on Twitter if you're still doing that. Everybody go to Parler. Everybody open up a Parler account now at Sergio Talk, and on Facebook, it would be Sergio Sanchez. I know there's a whole bunch of them, including some guy plays soccer out in Spain, but porthole, you know that little round thing, bottom left on the profile page? I advocate on behalf of the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. So if you find that little purple Cystic Fibrosis Foundation, little circle, little porthole on either side, you can say hello. Appreciate you tuning in to The Dana Show. Got a trio of COVID-19 vaccines near completion. Not everyone is excited, though, because there's some hesitancy in the market, according to some polling data. Seems that folks are apprehensive about the vaccine. And where is the so-called mainstream media, the heritage media? Where are you to properly point the finger of blame for, against, or towards the the individual who will might soon be vice president of the United States or president of the United States. It's the debates. A reminder from Texas A&M, Dr. Tim Callahan, who's in the news, saying the apprehension is across the political spectrum as far as people not wanting to get any of these vaccines because of the debates. As Joe Biden poo-pooing the effort by the Trump administration, it's Kamala Harris saying the same thing. Not anything that came from this administration. Oh, no, I'm not. No, I'm... She's suspect of all that. Well, thank you. Thank you, Kamala Harris. Thank you, Joe Biden, for creating all this uncertainty in an American public, especially the most vulnerable, who should be getting that vaccine as quickly as possible. And the president said in the news today, the president saying that vaccine, we might start distribution over the next couple of weeks. All right, Kimmy, let's do some headlines.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Delta Airlines had to cancel about 300 flights Thanksgiving Day. It's not for lack of passengers. They had the passengers. The problem is that because of budget cutbacks and salary things, they have a pilot shortage. Seems people are coming back to the airport, but they don't have enough pilots because of a lot of pilots took early retirement. National Center for Education Statistics, they say they need to postpone their national math and reading test until 2022 due to the coronavirus. Thousands of fourth and eighth graders across the nation were supposed to take the National Assessment of Educational Progress, but the commissioner is saying hosting the test 2021 would cost tens of millions of dollars for all the logistics. First thing that I thought of. Mail-in testing. Take-home mail-in testing. Hey, it works for the elections. Why not for the testing of all the kids, huh? That's a good idea. Stick around my conversation with former Congressman Jim Renacci on the potential legacy for President Donald Trump. You're listening to The Dana Show from her Southern Command in South Texas. I'm Sergio Sanchez.
Quick Five is brought to you by Caltech. Innovation, quality, performance.
Dana Lash, your social media debate teacher. Do your homework by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
But sir, just to be clear, if the Electoral College votes for Joe Biden, will you concede?
Well, if they do, they made a mistake, because this election was a fraud. Just so you understand, this election was a fraud. I mean, they have Biden beating Obama on Obama's vote in areas that mattered in terms of the election, in swing states. And yet he's losing to Obama all over the place. But he's beating Obama in swing states, which are the states that mattered for purposes of the election.
Yeah.
So, no, I can't say that at all. I think it's a possibility. They're trying to look between you people. Don't talk to me that way. You're just a lightweight. Don't talk to me that way. I'm the president of the United States. Don't ever talk to the president that way. All right, I'm going to go with another question. Yeah. Go ahead.
Good. Oh, I love this dude. Oh, President of the United States, he still is, and he was rock solid. He's great for the country. I know some of y'all tuning in, you're probably laughing at me. You can't stand him. That's your problem. It's not the person. It's the policy. It's the leadership. Oh, my goodness. Dana says, our nation, we need to grow some beans again. My goodness. You have an individual. He's a businessman. He's not a politician. You guys, many of y'all have fallen in love with a clean-cut, perfect speaking, perfect life. There is no such thing, even on the Democrat side. All these politicians that they serve up, all these personal scandals and personal failings and the money that they take from Chinese outfits or whatever it is, it's... There's no such thing as a perfect presidential candidate. The problem is Donald Trump, He was fighting absolutely everyone, the so-called mainstream media, the new media, the big tech giants, suppressing what he had to say, flagging what he had to say, people in industry, people in Hollywood. He was fighting everybody. Doesn't need to concede. I don't see anything that he needs to concede. President Donald Trump needs to concede. In the end, after all states certified, after all the legal fights are done, if you can't, it can't be won there, I do expect President Trump, he will be leaving the White House in the future. But let all the legal processes work out, and then the fight begins for 2024. That's why he said in an earlier cut, he says too early to be talking about 2024. And what a great point. What was it, like 10, 15 million vote difference? What's the difference between what Barack Obama got at his zenith compared to Joe Biden, more popular than Barack Obama? That's not a popularity issue there on the popular vote. Hey, that's a lot of Trump hate right there. That was created. It was manufactured by the so-called mainstream press, the heritage press, Hollywood, and all these Trump haters. They got what they invested in, all the hate across the land. And the investigation still needs to continue on all the irregularities. You're listening to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for Dana. I want to say congratulations to Dana, our precious commander. Big hug and a kiss to Dana and Chris. Yeah, I went checking online. I see them popping, especially Chris, her long-suffering husband, Chris Lash. Chris prepared the perfect roast of turkey, and he was digging into Dana's perfect made-from-scratch, like chocolate pie and other pies that she was making. She was talking about that before they went on vacation for the Thanksgiving holiday. But, guys, how long did you guys spend in the kitchen? Maybe this is the one way you guys could relax, unwind, and forget about the crazy world, right? I'm thinking just my basic calculation between the time off on Wednesday when I filled in and then Thursday, right? I'm thinking at least in the kitchen, I'm thinking about 24 plus hours. I figured out my wife, Delia, and I, my perfect, beautiful bride and awesome cook, which, you know, Dilly and I, because I love cooking too. If we tried to do the scratch from scratch thing, yeah, we'd have fun doing that too. I think that's probably relaxing. But for us, it was the four hour turkey dinner. How'd we do that? And you're probably thinking, well, maybe it was frozen. No, it's fresh, because I let the local supermarket, I lovingly refer to them. Here in Texas, we have a supermarket chain called HEB. And maybe Dana's referred to him here because she's also in Texas. She's just on the other side of Texas, the cold side, the north side. I'm in the warm side in South Texas. So this HEB, and I lovingly refer to them as HE Butt, because the name of the place is like Harold something Butt, like B-U-T-T. That's like the real name. So every time I talk about it, it's HE Butt. And those people are awesome. They really are. Wonderful, wonderful supermarket chain. So they get like portions of the turkey breast, like still with bone and all that. And they roast it perfectly seasoned and roasted with all the juices still in the container. I got two of those suckers, took them home, took all the meat off the bone. Deli and I put it into a big old pan. We put our own veggies. And of course, South Texas, Mexican style. Because we're the ones in part responsible for pineapple on pizza. Well, we put some crushed pineapple and all the veggies and a bunch of butter, just slather stuff with butter again, stick it in the oven, and then after about an hour, it's just all broiling and stuff. Oh, the gravy is to die for. The juices at the bottom is dead because we added all the juices that came with it, and then it just keeps on juicing up with all the stuff we put on it. So that turkey about an hour. So we prepare mashed potatoes, in-house mashed potatoes, with all the cheese and the butter and sour cream and all that. It's like a loaded, super loaded baked potato. You know, when you ask for all of it, yeah, see, I'm mouthwatering already thinking about it. And we got some plenty of leftovers. I'm going to go hit as soon as I get home. We make our own stuffing with a bunch of veggies, a celery and carrots and onion. And then Delia slices up some apple and puts it in there, puts it in the oven. And we make our own sweet potato little thing with with marshmallows. 4 hours. 4 hours. And the rest of the time, sleep, which I'm very much looking forward to getting when I get back home. All right. Working on the president's legacy in these final few days, maybe, unless by some miracle the president pulls a rabbit out of the hat, legal rabbit out of the hat, and stays there for the next 4 years. Time to work on the legacy. We got lots of things to talk about. Let me go to Jim Renacci, former congressman from Ohio, conversation I had with him. Go ahead, Kimmy. General Service, they're helping out the Joe Biden camp transition to the White House. Former Congressman Jim Renacci is my guest. I know the president said that the GSA director was getting threats, but in the end, this is a Donald Trump decision.
Well, look, in the end, and thank you, Sergio, for having me. In the end, what we have is the president saying that, and he actually tweeted after and said, that doesn't mean he's conceding. He still is going through a process of having his attorneys look at the system, but he is saying, let's move forward, let's allow some of, you know, the communication to start. But he also came out very quickly and said that does not mean he's walking away. And Sergio, there is a process. You know, look, December 1st is a key date. All swing states will likely certify their results. December 8th is another date where there's a deadline for states to resolve any disputes. December 14th, the meeting of the Electoral College. December 23rd, the receipt of certifications of Electoral College votes. So we have a process. I think what the president's saying is, let's move forward with the process. But at the same time, he is allowed also to continue his review of the election process, file suits where he believes there were problems. And I think this is good for the country because we do need a look at our election process, making sure it's fair and free, and we are only counting legal votes. And in the end, I think it will also bring to light some of the concerns that many people have. Might not change the election decision or the transition, but it might help people in the future understand that we do have a system that maybe has some flaws and they need to be looked at.
Keeping the American eye on that election ball and the election reforms that we need in our nation, and of course they need to be local and they need to take place state by state, but point the finger of blame to those Democrat-run states and counties messing this up historically. This is nothing that popped up exclusively for 2020. This goes back decades. Maybe a full report from his camp to the nation on the election reforms might even echo 2005, that big post-2000 election commission with Democrats and Republicans, and they came out with the securities that were needed, especially when it came to mail-in ballots. We need that to be part of the president's legacy. Oh, I wanted to ask you about the legacy of Donald Trump. If in the end, Joe Biden is sworn in as president, what do you think, Jim, Donald Trump needs to do right now to make sure he properly exits? And you never know, maybe leaves the door open for 2024.
Well, absolutely. And look, this president has done a lot in the last 4 years. Look at our economy. If you look at the economic strides that we've made, we finally, for the first time, have taken on China. No president in the past, Republican or Democrat, including Joe Biden, when he was vice president, really took on China. China is a threat. We need to keep our eyes open to that. So this president needs to continue to solidify what he's been able to do. The vaccines for the coronavirus, he needs to continue to move that forward. Look, without this president and his warp speed program, we wouldn't have a virus. You know, there are, if you go back,
we wouldn't have a vaccine.
And if you look at vaccines, some productions and distributions are 5 to 10 years. It's remarkable what he's been able to do. And he should continue to move forward, make sure he helps to get this vaccine out and distribute it as quickly as possible, especially to our healthcare workers, and then continue to move forward. The most he can do right now is finalize some executive orders, and I think he'll be doing that. It's going to be tough to get anything done with this Congress, but as you've heard me say in the past, I'm not sure anything gets done in Washington unless it's an emergency, and even then, it's done in such a way that there's usually problems afterwards, because nobody does the process in Washington. Nobody follows through and has the hearings and the actual analysis of what's going to happen if you do this or change this. They just make decisions, move quickly, and that's why, you know, the best example is the PPP program, a good program to try and hold up our country's economic issues, but it's fraught with fraud and abuse right now, and they're finding all that because they moved too quickly.
Former Congressman from Ohio, Jim Renacci. One of the more enlightening interviews I had the past several months was how successful the Trump administration has been in filling empty judge seats. District courts, appellate courts, good job. I'm thinking if there are any other seats that could be filled, this would be the time to get that done over the next 30, 45 days because he's got the skids all greased up over at the Senate. He still does. The peace agreements that are mind-blowingly historic, Israel, UAE, and others, maybe even Saudi Arabia, maybe he's got enough time to firm all that up before he leaves office.
Well, you did hit the nail on the head when you talked about the judgeships. I mean, the one thing the Obama administration did not do is they left hundreds and hundreds of judge positions open that this president has been filling. To the Democrats, they're so unhappy with it. But he is filling up positions. He's filling some of these lifetime positions with. As I read yesterday, 35 and 40-year-old judges who will be around for the next 30 years with a conservative judge. This is something that, you know, past presidents, especially President Obama and Vice President Biden, could have done, but they neglected. This president can get that done over the remaining term, and the Senate can confirm those because, the Democrat Senate in the past approved only 51%. Necessary to approve those appointments, so the Republican Senate now can follow through and get many of those appointments put in place. So that, and like you said, there probably are some other. I know our Secretary of State Pompeo has been overseas, probably working on a couple other things. He's a very good man and a former colleague of mine, and maybe they can bring some other peaceful negotiations to a head as well.
Yep. At least when it comes to Israel and some new friends are making, thanks to the Trump administration. Happy Thanksgiving, Jim. Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and your listeners as well.
Former Congressman from Ohio, Jim Renacci. This is The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and The Dana Show broadcasting today from her Southern Command in South Texas.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
From her Southern Command office, you're listening to The Dana Show. As always, an honor that you tune in. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and again, Parler, Twitter, same thing, same address, at Sergio Talk, Sergio Sanchez on Facebook. Look for me. I'm the program director, talk show host here in Deep South Texas, KURV Talk Radio in South Texas. And I don't do the Instagram thing. I'm just too damn ugly. I hate social media, but you have to do it. I recognize that. Speaking of social media, I just saw on Parler a second ago, the president's team. Our country's children need to be taught how to love our country. Right on. We got a lot of work to do in teaching a new generation. Which reminds me, earlier on the program, I spoke with Logan Seculo. He's the son of the Seculo. Logan Seculo, he's got a new program called Bald Beagle. Look it up. Bing the thing. Or better yet, Duck, Duck, Go. Don't do the Google thing. Make your search engine, the go-to search engine, Duck, Duck, Go, and look for a Bald Beagle. It's Logan Seculo's series for the kids. Just a couple of parting notes for today. Let's see here. No surprise from the leftist magazine Time, it's that time again for them to do the person of the year. Some of the names are thrown out there. Kamala Harris, bringing back Stacey Abrams. They're crediting her with flipping Georgia blue, they say. Gretch the Grinch, I kid you not. Like what's the qualification here? The how-to hair and makeup tips with an iron fist. I mean, what a Gretch the Grinch. Another one.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. Oh, my goodness. Oh, how to politically survive COVID blunders, right? Like send the pixie dust straight into the nursing homes, survive that. Anyway, that's some of the names at Time Magazine and their lefty ideas on who the person of the year should be. I didn't watch any football. My dollars do not go to NFL. That's just me. You guys enjoyed it. Blessings to you, to y'all. Besides, they need somebody to pay all that merchandise stuff because they got billions of dollars in salaries to pay. Anyway, no football for me. Enjoyed the dog show. Congratulations to a Scottish deerhound, the first of her breed to ever be named best in show at the big annual dog show, the National Dog Show in Pennsylvania. That was a good show on Thursday. What is a Scottish deerhound? Well, imagine a Great Dane, right? It's just a hairy Great Dane. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Dana Show. Join us on Parler and tune in next week. Dana should be back next week live on Pluto TV as well. Have a wonderful weekend.